إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله continue the شرح of بلوغ المرام from the كتاب of النكاح. بكم السلام. When Uthman رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح، رواه مسلم. وفي رواية له ولا يخطب. وزاد ابن حبان ولا يخطب عليه. From Uthman رضي الله عنه، may Allah be pleased with him, his son Abban bin Uthman رضي الله عنه reported from him that Uthman رضي الله عنه said that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح. المحرم, the one in state of ihram. When they say somebody is in state of ihram, that means the person is in a condition where some things are prohibited on him. As a result of wanting to perform Hajj or Umrah, the one who is performing Hajj or is performing Umrah, such a person will be said to be in state of Ihram. That is, in that stage, it is expected to avoid certain things. The doing of such things may affect the person's Hajj. There are different recommendations, so to say, or different punishments, so to say, for such a violation. But what concerns us here is that somebody who is performing Hajj or is performing Umrah, such a person is said to be in state of Ihram. If it is Hajj, the person will not be out of that state until he does what is called a tahallul usfani, that is the second freedom, until he has a second freedom. The first freedom is when the person throws the pebbles at the jamarat. So the person becomes what? Free, but not completely. At that point, he can do other things that have been prohibited, except having sexual intercourse with his wife. He cannot have sexual intercourse with his wife until he does at the halal usfani. And at-tahallul thani, this is done by doing tawaf. If the person does tawaf, he has done what is called at-tahallul thani. After this, the person can have sexual intercourse with his wife. That is, if the person does tawaf around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does tawaf of sa'i, because what tawaf can be used for going around the Kaaba, likewise going between Safa and Marwa, both of them, the word tawaf can be used for them. So until he does tawaf, if he does tawaf, he has done what is called at-tahallul thani. If he has not done tawaf, if he throws pebbles, this is called at-tahallul awwal. And this happens on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day people who are not in state of ihram, those who are not in Hajj, the day they will be celebrating Eid al-Adha. So that is the day that is people will be throwing pebbles. So when they throw pebbles, this is called at-tahallul al-hawwal. So when they also do tawaf, this is called at-tahallul al-thani. After the tahallul al-thani, one can do what? One can have sexual intercourse with one's wife. But before tahallul al-thani, it is forbidden to do that. So what I'm trying to say in summary is that the one who is performing Hajj, if he commences his Hajj, that is, he puts on, he assumes the intention of ihram, that intention is called ihram. The intention that I'm performing Hajj, this is called what? Al-ihram. Then this, if the person commences it on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, and he proceeds to Mina on the same day, that is the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, now proceeding to Mina on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah is not a pillar, it's not compulsion. The one who decides to remain in Mecca or who has not arrived in Mecca on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, that doesn't mean he has missed something that is a compulsion. No. So if the person proceeds from Mina to Arafah on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, or from anywhere to Arafah on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, so being at the plain of Arafah is the greatest pillar of Hajj. As the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Hajj wa Arafah. So Hajj, that is the most important aspect of Hajj, is Arafah. So the one is on the plain of Arafah, such a person is what he has done his Hajj. What is left is for him to complete what? The remaining thing. But if he misses that night of the Hijjah, is unable to be on the plain of Arafah on the night of Dhul-Hijjah till the Fajr of the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, then he has missed Arafah. But if he is able to be on the plain even at night, night of what? 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the Sharia says what? He has made it. So only to what? To complete the remaining aspect of Hajj. So what we are saying is that somebody who has assumed ihram, that is one, a pillar. Then the person also goes to Arafah, two. Then the person goes to Muzdalifah. This, is he a pillar or not? Scholars, they have a difference of opinion on this, but it's what is an important aspect of Hajj as well, being in Muzdalifah and also observing Salatul Sufri for those who are able people here. Now, throwing pebbles, with the throwing of pebbles on the 10th of the Hijjah, after sunrise, for those who are able people, as for the weaklings, the women and the like, if they throw at there after the middle of the night, so this most scholars the sanction. So throwing the pebbles make the person come out of what? Ihram, but not completely. That is, the person can apply perfume, the person can put on garments, thrown garments like the one I'm putting on, so the person can clip his nails, and so on and so forth. So he can do a lot of things, but he cannot have sexual intercourse. He cannot have sexual intercourse until he does tawaf and sa'i. So if he does tawaf and sa'i, then he has done what is called at-tahallulu al-thani. At-tahallulu al-thani. So what we are saying in essence is that the one who is in Arafah, or who has assumed Iman, he has not gone to Arafah, the one who has thrown pebbles but he has not done tawaf and sa'yu, such a person is still what? Is still not done what is called a tahallulu al-thani. In a situation like this, the person, la yankifu al-muhrim, he cannot do nikah in that situation. La yankifu al-muhrim. So when we say al-muhrim, the person we are talking about now should be clear that it's somebody who has not done tawaf and what? As-sa'i. The one who has not done tawaf and sa'i. He may have thrown pebbles. He may have been on the plain of Arafah. He may have assumed ihram. He may have been at the Muzdalifah and so on and so forth. But he has not done tawaf al-ifadah. The pillar, the tawaf pillar. He has not done it. He has not done sa'i. Such a person is still called what? Al-muhrim. So such a person cannot do nikah. He cannot see a woman or a lady and say, okay, I'm interested in this lady, let me propose to her. Even he cannot what propose to a lady, let's talk of what? Of being abdul nikah. And if the person is doing umrah, we have explained that of hajj. To assume umrah, if that is for you to be in state of ihram as far as umrah is concerned, is the assuming of what? Of that intention. For you to have it in mind that what? I'm in state of umrah now. Not the clothes that you put on, not that unsewn garment that you put on. Only that what is the condition that when you assume ihram, you must be in an unsewn garment. When you assume the ihram, that is that intention of umrah. So the one who assumes ihram, number one, then the person now does tawaf, he does tawaf and he does sa'i. And what? He also shaves or cuts his what? His hair. If he does these four things, he has done umrah. He has done umrah. But let me assume the haram, the intention. He's going saying labbaik allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak labbaik. Saying this, he has not done tawaf. He now sees a lady, or maybe he has proposed to a lady. The father now says, okay, let us do the abdu now. La yankihu al-muhrim. Somebody in state of ihram cannot do nikah. So we tell the father that let us postpone it to what? To another time. Why? Because he is what? In state of umrah. In state of umrah. Is in state of ihram. So he cannot do nikah at that particular time. Not only after nikah, even if he cannot do khitbah. That this is my opportunity. If I don't propose to this lady here, and you know, have that opportunity. La yankihu al-muhrim. So al-muhrim, whether in state of umrah, or al-muhrim, whether in state of hajj, cannot do nikah. Please let us understand what we are talking about. When we say al-muhrim, is a person who is in this condition that we have explained. Now, I leave Nigeria for Makkah with the intention of what? Of doing umrah or hajj. That doesn't mean what? I cannot do nikah. That doesn't mean I cannot do what? I cannot propose to a lady. So it's not act of piety to say, okay, no, why are you in age? Why can't you leave everything, postpone everything till you come back to what? To your country. You have gone there to worship Allah. Why all this age? No, don't give that fatwa and don't encourage people in that way. Islam has not said what? They cannot do abdul nikah or they cannot do khitbah over there. But when they are in state of ihram, and how do we know somebody is in state of ihram? That is when he assumes the intention of umrah, for instance. When he assumes the intention of umrah and his watch is going labbaik allahumma labbaik, he has not done what? He has not done tawaf He has not done sa'yu, he has not shaven or cut his hair. If after the assumption of the ihram, he does tawaf, sa'yu, he cuts off his what he said. He has terminated what? His umrah. Then immediately he finishes that, he sees a lady, he can propose. Is it not better for him to leave it? It's not better. Because Islam has not said what? It is better for him to propose that time. No. Islam has not said that. Neither has the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. In fact, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they assumed the ihram together with the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Dhul Hulayfa, and when they got to Mecca, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received wahyu that he should tell the people that they should change their intention to ordinary, to tamattu. What is tamattu? Tamattu is that there should be a kind of what? Freedom. Freedom to cut your nail, freedom to use perfume, freedom to sleep with your wife, and so on and so forth. That tamattu is to have freedom in between the umrah and what? The hajj. Because Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Mecca on the 4th of Dhul-Hijjah. He left Medina on the 25th of Dhul-Qa'dah. He did not arrive in Mecca until what? 4th of Dhul-Hijjah. So when the companions finished their Umrah on the 4th of Dhul-Hijjah, so they wanted to maintain that state of Ihram. That is, before they finished the Umrah, Messenger of Allah received the revelation that what? They should change their intention from what? From the Hajj of Kiran or Ifrat, that they should change it to what? To Tamattu. That is, in between the 4th of the Hijjah and the 8th of the Hijjah, they have time to what? To make use of perfume, have sexual intercourse with their wives, and so on and so forth. This is what? The name from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that's the Messenger of Allah himself, he told them, when he asked the companions were wondering that, that's come to perform Hajj, what is the issue of what? Having this tahallul. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ اِسْتَكْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِ مَسْتَكْبَرْتُ مَا سُبْتُ الْأَدْيَا وَلَا حَلَلْتُ مَعَكُمْ. He said, what I've been informed now, if I've been informed before, I would not have what? Taken my hajj with me. That is the sacrificial animal that he took with him. Because of taking the sacrificial animal with him, it was not permissible for him to do what the companions were about to do. So throughout, that is from the 25th of Dhul-Qa'dah till the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, Nabi of Allah could not make use of perfume, he could not sleep with his wife, he could not do a lot of things. But the companions were able to sleep with their wives afterwards, after their Umrah on the 4th. So they were only in state of Ihram between the 12th, 25th and what? And 4th. So look at what the difficulty they went through. Between 25th and... So some of us, or most people today, they will assume their Ihram in what? In Dhul-Hulayfa. Why? Maybe they are coming from Medina, they get to Dhul-Hulayfa, they will assume their Ihram. That very day they will get to Mecca. They will finish what? Their Umrah. So between Dhul-Hulayfa and what? And Mecca, if one wants to ride on what? On camel, or if one wants to trek, days. So those people, they are what? They are in their state of Ihram, putting on unsewn garments. They could not, you know, make use of perfume. Look at the way they will be walking on dusty ground and so on and so forth. But they were able to bear this. So the shahid here is that what? Being in state of Ihram means that what? You cannot have sexual intercourse, you cannot make use of perfume, you cannot propose to a woman, you can't cut your nails, you can't cut your hair. So all these are forbidden. But immediately you throw, if it is state of Umrah, after you have finished what? The sa'yu and you cut your hair, you are what? You have done tahallul. You have done what? Tahallul. You are free again. Then if you assume what? Hajj. On the 8th of the Hijjah, or on the 9th of the Hijjah, you are in state of Ihram again. So you be in state of Ihram when you are in Arafah, or on Arafah. Then when you are what? Muzdalifah, you be in state of Ihram. When you are what? You are going to throw pebbles, you're in state of Ihram. Immediately you throw what? The pebbles, the seven pebbles at Jamratul Aqaba, you have what is called what? Partial freedom. Which means what? You can make use of perfume, you can cut your nail, your hair, so you have this partial freedom. But the full freedom, which is called At-Tahallulu At-Thani or At-Tahallul Akbar, this cannot be achieved until you have got, in addition to the throwing of the pebbles, going around the Kaaba and what? The Sa'i. How this is played. So after this, if this is done on the 10th of the Hijjah, if one is able to do it on the 10th of the Hijjah, then one becomes what? One becomes mutahallil. One becomes free. Tahallulan akbar. One becomes free completely. Now one is even to throw pebbles on the 11th, 12th, 13th, but that doesn't hinder one having sexual intercourse with one's wife. That doesn't hinder one giving proposal to a woman. But if you have not done that, you can't do this. How to display? So I'm trying to give us a picture of what is called al-muhrim and what is called al-mutahallil. Al-mutahallil and al-muhrim. So al-mutahallil is the one that can propose to a woman, that can do aqdun nikah. But al-muhrim, la yankihu al-muhrim, al-muhrim cannot do nikah. وَلَا يُمْكِحُ And he cannot also conduct nikah. لَا يُمْكِحُ He cannot conduct nikah. He cannot even act as a wakil on behalf of somebody. You know, for instance, you may not be around and you want to transfer your wilaya to me that I should marry off your daughter. So I am a muhrim. Can I act as a wali on your behalf? No. La yumkih. He cannot do aqdun nikah and he cannot act as a wali on behalf of anybody. So scholars say al-muhrim is like a woman. Al-muhrim is like a woman. You know, a woman cannot marry off herself and she cannot be a waliya for another person. So a muhrim is like what? It's like a woman. So this is what the hadith is telling us. Buying a muhrim, the one in the state of ihram, cannot do nikah. Wala yunkih, and cannot also marry off a girl. Rawahu Muslim. Muslim reported this. Wa fi riwayatin la, in a report, wala yakhtub. Even he cannot do khitbah. He cannot do khitbah. No talk of doing aqdu nikah. Because these things are forbidden for a muhrim. And that's why when we are talking about mahdurat al-ihram, things that one cannot do while one is in state of ihram, scholars will mention al-khitbah and al-nikah. Al-khitbah and what? Al-nikah. He cannot, a muhrim cannot do both of them. Not only this, you have mentioned the use of perfume. A muhrim can only use perfume before what? Before assuming the intention. After he has assumed the intention, he cannot make use of what? Perfume. He cannot make use of perfume. So he cannot cut his clay, he can't cut his nails, he cannot cut his hair or shave his hair until he gets towards the place where he's supposed to shave his hair. All these they have what? They have penalties if one does it. Scholars will always say that the one who violates any of these will slaughter a ram for violating it, with the exception of the one who has sexual intercourse. With the exception of the one who has sexual intercourse. The one who has sexual intercourse, scholars will say, if he has a sexual intercourse before the tahallulu al-awwal, before the tahallul al-awwal. What is the tahallul al-awwal, the first tahallul? Throwing of pebbles. Maybe after Arafah, or why is in Muzdalifah, he sleeps with his wife. One may ask, why is somebody, people are very funny. There are questions like these that they will ask scholars, that I sleep with my wife after Muzdalifah, was the ruling. So the one who does this, who sleeps with his wife afterwards, and before Tahallul al-Awwal, such a person has lost that Hajj. He has lost the Hajj. Huh? So he will continue it. Because Allah says, what, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. So he will continue, but he has no Hajj. Then he will come back the following year to do the same Hajj, and he will have to slaughter Kaleb. This is what? The fatwa of the companions. But if it is after Tahallulu al-Awwal, that is before doing tawaf, that the person does it. Huh? If it is before doing tawaf, they will say the person still has the Hajj, that you will continue it, then what, you will slaughter camel as well. You slaughter camel and you will continue it. So he has this, then you assume it's ihram again. You assume what? It's ihram. This is the fatwa that Abdullah ibn Abbas of Allah and he gave to the person that did that. Now, but if it is other ones like use of perfume before the Tahallul al-Awwal, so they will say we slaughter ram. So nothing other than that. But some scholars are of the opinion that this issue of slaughtering ram, apart from the one that you have a consensus from the companions, this issue of slaughtering ram for somebody who makes a violation of what the of some of these Hajj or whatever, that we do not have evidence for it. And this may encourage some people to be what? Violating some things. Maybe things that they should not do. Like somebody who feels that, how can I stay for a day not using perfume? You know, there are some people like that. They say, I'll use perfume and I'll slaughter them. And I see a lot of rich men, they violate things like this. And that is one of the crazy fatwa that somebody gave recently, that the twain of pebbles is not one of what? The pillars of Hajj. So let us be what? We shouldn't throw pebbles on the floor. It's not Arab. It's a crazy fatwa. So instead of telling people how they can avoid this, how they can avoid stampede and the like, and if people have followed the Sharia, wallahi, we will not be having these things that we are witnessing today. So you go there, there is no need for pushing people. When you get there, you just throw. Not throwing at the wall, the pillars, it is what throwing in the basin. You move close, you throw in the basin, one, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar till you come. You complete them. Then you have to leave there, allow somebody else to come. But somebody is behind you, who does not want to move close to the basin, is throwing with what? With indignation from what? From back. I think he was throwing or he was throwing pebbles at what? Shaitan. Then people are going like this. Some people are coming what? From opposite direction. So, and that's why this cannot be blamed on Islam. It should be blamed on us. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. So a lot of musibah that affects you, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, they are the result of what your handy was. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah overlooks a lot. Allah protects us, save us from a lot of things. It's either we are what? The cause of whatever happens to us, or another person. But the most important thing is what? We, the pilgrims, and the authority as a whole, and those who are what? Taking care of so we are responsible for it by not following what the Sharia said. So some people, instead of making people do what the Sharia wants, they suggest what? Violation of what the Sharia says. Part of it for you to say, okay, people should be stoning before the time. Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the stoning of the 11th, 12th and the 13th, it did not stone until after Zawal. This is established. But you say people should be stoning God before Zawal. So Nigerians, for instance, your stoning time is what? Is 10 a.m. Or it's 8 a.m. So you, the Europeans, your own time is so and so. No. Let everybody start before they are the time. Then they follow what the Sunnah teaches. You have the right to stone till what? Till night. If at all you want to share what? The time you want to make a timetable for that, this should be distributed to cover the night. Not that people should be stoning before the actual time. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that this issue of slaughtering rams, some people are capitalizing on that now to be throwing away things that are part and parcel of what? The Hajj rites. A woman came to the Amir of Hajj of the group that I went with. And she said to him that her flight back to Nigeria is on the 11th. Her flight back to Nigeria is what? It's on the 11th. So that, can she throw the gold pebbles before? Now, you are supposed to leave there at least on the 12th. So the man was now asking her, if you have something, if your company asks you to go and do something somewhere, will you come up with this excuse that your flight back to Nigeria is, when you have not finished what your company asked you to go and do, are you going to tell them that, or are you going to book flight that will be what? If your intention is coming what to perform Hajj, the flight that you should book should be what? Flight that will cover. So, you see the way people would recognize the issue of what? To use your Allah assist us. So the shy here is that Al-Muhrim is the one who is in state of Ihram. And one is said to be in state of Ihram when one assumes Ihram of Umrah or Hajj. If it is Umrah, one is in state of Ihram after the assumption of the Ihram until one says one Eid. That is, one would do Tawaful Qudum, or they call it Tawaful Umrah. Then you do sa'yu, then you watch the shearing of the air. With these four, that is ihram, tawafu, al-umrah, the sa'yu of umrah, and what the cutting of the air, you have finished the umrah. You become what? Mutahalli. You become hilm. If it is hajj, with the assumption of the ihram, one is what the state of ihram. Huh? Till one goes to Arafah. Now I'm going to Mina. It's sunnah, but not compulsory. Arafah, Muzdalifah, is also what's compulsory, but not a pillar, according to the majority of the scholars. Staying here to Sufi, observing for that Sufi here, this is also what is compulsory. But the women are exempted from it. That is not compulsory on them to still till what? The Fajr. According to what Asma, Aisha, and many other female companions were the said. Now, proceeding from there towards to the throwing of the Jamrah. When one stones the Jamrah, one becomes Mutahallil. But this is not Tahallul Akbar. So one does not become Mutahallil Akbar, Tahallul Akbar, until one does Tawaf. So when one throws the pebbles, one shakes the air, one slaughters the animal, or if one has not slaughtered the animal, you pay for people to slaughter the animal on your behalf, then the tawaf, the major thing. If one does the tawaf and the sa'yu, one becomes what? Mutahallilun tahallulan akbar. So after this, if one goes with one's wife, one can watch, have sexual intercourse with her. If one wants to propose to a lady, then one can propose to a lady there. So the fact was that, why can't you just exercise patience till you get back to your This is a fatwa of what? Of those who do not know the Sharia. So Messenger of Allah deliberately allowed the companions the break in between their Umrah, which was done on the 4th, and what? And the Hajj, which started on the 8th, so that what they can enjoy themselves in the right way, in the lawful way. So, and now some of the companions said, what? Taqturu mazakiruna man. That is, I don't know how to put this in the Taqturu mazakiruna. That is, we are enjoying ourselves with our wives. So, it is not an act of pride to say, no, for that period of 1 month or 20 days or so, forget everything about women. No, that is not what the Sharia says. But when one is in state of ihram, in state of ihram, no nikah, no khitbah. No nikah, no khitbah. But after one has gone out of what state of ihram, one can do nikah, one can do khitbah. وَذَلَ إِبْنِ حِبَّانَ وَلَا يُخْتَبُ عَلَيْهِ. In Sahih Ibn Hibban, it was said, لَا يُخْتَبُ عَلَيْهِ. Somebody should not come to him asking the hand of his daughter in marriage. وَلِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ from Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه قال تَزَوَّجَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَيْمُونَةَ وَهُوَ مُحْرِمٌ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. In Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it was reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Maymuna, who was the aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Maymuna was the maternal aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. وَهُوَ مُحْرِمٌ هُوَ الْسِّيْتُ of Ihram. Now how are we going to reconcile between this and what the previous hadith? لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did nikah with Maymuna wa huwa muhrimun. Why was the state of ihram? How are we going to reconcile between the two? We may have asked some principles of usul fiqh. So let us try to do this reconciliation before we proceed to other explanation on the hadith. Now. After the first tahallul, can we do aqdu? After the first tahallul, we can't. Okay? Khususiyya, that is the speciality of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah exempted him from some things. He exempted him from some things. Take for instance, he married more than four. Any believer does not have the right to marry more than four. So there are some words, khususiyya, for the blessing of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these can words can be khususiyya. So why la yankih al-muhrimu wa la yankih will be applicable to other Muslims. So we can do reconciliation like this. Some of the scholars, they said, تزوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ميمونة وهو محرم. لكن يقول الله ما is ميمونة وهو محرم why in state of إحرام. He said it's not that what is in state of إحرام but what وهو محرم why is in حرم. In حرم. وهو محرم. In حرم. When you say حرم, حرم includes مكة, مزدلفة, منى. Muzdalifa, Makkah, Mina, all these are what? They are haram. Arafah is not haram. Arafah is hillu. You know, it is forbidden for people to what? To hunt in the haram. In the haram, you don't hunt deer. You don't hunt bird. You don't hunt animal. Now you can hunt outside the haram and bring it inside what? The haram. So, muhrimun can also be translated as somebody who is in what? In haram. Is in haram. So tazawwaja Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Maymunata wa huwa muhrimun bi maridin why was what in haram. Huh? So this can be interpreted like that as well. So some scholars they teach this to say no, this does not contradict la yunkhul murim wa la yunkhul wa la yukhtab alayhi. It does not contradict it. Huh? It does not contradict wa la yukhtab. Rather, what it means is that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Maymuna while he was in haram. Well, let's see the next hadith. وَنْ عُقْبَةَ نُصَرِ وَلِمُسْلِمِينَ. In the report of Muslim, عَنْ مَيْمُونَةَ نَفْسِهَا, from Maymuna asked, أَنَّ نَبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَزَوَّجَنِي وَهُوَ حَلَالٌ. She said, Messenger of Allah married me, وَهُوَ حَلَالٌ. وَهُوَ حَلَالٌ. Why was halal? Huh? Halal is the opposite of what? Muhrim. وَهُوَ مُتَحَلِّلٌ. That means he has come out of what? Ihram. Now, which statement are you going to take now? Are you going to take that of Ibn Abbas? Let's assume that what Ibn Abbas meant is that what? Why Messenger of Allah was in state of Ihram, not why he was in Haram. Why he was in state of Ihram, not why he was in Haram. Then, Maymuna herself said, what Messenger of Allah married me, wa huwa halal, why halal? Whose statement are we going to take? Huh? Maymuna. So that's why scholars said, no, this is khata from Abdullah ibn Abbas. This chain is authentic, but Ibn Abbas got the information wrong, got the incident wrong. And this is possible, the human being. The human being. One may narrate something, but what you have narrated is what? It's not the right thing you have narrated. You have been misinformed. Maybe something happened and you are trying to report it. And you say, okay, maybe an incident happened and 12 people died. Huh? People now found out that it was 11 people, not 12 people. Huh? What did you do? You made a mistake. The incident happened. But how many people were victims? You didn't get the number accurately. So, Messenger of Allah married Maymuna, but was it in state of Ihram or in state of what? Hill. So, Abdullah ibn Abbas did not get the information right. So, in this case, we are going to take that of Maymuna. Because she said, what is the wajani? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa halal. Messenger of Allah married me, why? He was halal. Not only that, Abu Rafi, who was what? The Rasul, the intermediary between Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Maymuna, also said Messenger of Allah married her, why Messenger of Allah was halal. So, and that's why scholars, majority of scholars said, this is khata from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. This is khata from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So, what would we say if we said that maybe we don't have the hadith of Maymuna or that of Abu Rafi, so we can do the reconciliation the way we have done it before. Either Messenger of Allah married her while he was not in Haram, or Messenger of Allah married her while he was in state of Ihram. But this should be a speciality of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have so many examples of this in the Sharia, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow Messenger of Allah to do something, but he will not allow the Muslims. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what? خَالِصَةً لَكَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is for you, and not for the believers. So this is on that. وَنْ عُقْبَةَ بِنْ عَامِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أحق الشروط أن يوفى به ما استحللت به الفروج متفق عليه. From Uqba, the son of Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, was one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن أحق الشروط إن أحق الشروط. الشروط is a plural of شرط. شرط is what? Condition. أحق is اسم التفضيل of what? حق. حق is what is rightful or what is rightful or something that is what is rightful, that is haq, anything that is rightful. So in a haq, that is the most rightful shurut, the most rightful condition, and you have fabihi to be fulfilled. The most rightful condition to be fulfilled. All the conditions that you reach by people, you reach with people, you have to fulfill them. As you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us in many verses of the Quran. Awfu bil uqud. The contracts that you have, you fill the contracts. Even if you have a contract with a kafir, you fulfill what? Your contract. You fulfill your agreement. So we'll talk about conditions in contracts when we are treating Kitab al-Buyu in this same book. That there are conditions that will be reached by the parties involved. So those conditions, we have to fulfill them. How to consider collect? We have what? Shurut al-Bay, the conditions of buying and selling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts down. These we ought to fulfill them. Then we have ash-shurutu fil-bayt, the conditions agreed upon by the parties involved. This one also we ought to watch. Obey them, we have to fulfill them. Unless if these conditions are against the shurut of Allah, if these conditions are against the shurut of Allah, the conditions of Allah, then in that case, we regard it as what? Shartun baati. Shartun baati. Why? Because it is against the condition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example is what happens between Barira and Atiku. When Atiku wanted to sell to Aisha radiallahu anha, they stipulated that we are going to sell this slave girl to you on condition that if she dies, our bequest will come back to us. You understand that? I buy something and somebody is telling me that what you really want to inherit something of what you have sold to me. What type of condition is that? So when they stipulated that to Aisha of the line, she went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah said, okay, go and effect the transaction. And when the Messenger of Allah was mounted the minbar, he said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَشْتَرِتُونَ شُرُوطًا لَيْتَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Why are some people stipulating conditions that are against the conditions of Allah? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? فَأَيُّ شَرْطٍ لَيْتَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Any condition that does not agree with the book of Allah, فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ, is what is invalid. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِيَةَ شَرْطٍ, even if the conditions are 100. So what every Muslim should have at the back of your mind is that it's not permissible for us to agree on a condition that goes against the condition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, that goes against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any condition, agreement between us that goes against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is batil. كُلِّ شَرْطٍ لَيْسَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِيَةَ شَرْطٍ. So this was an important point. But if the shart is not against the book of Allah, الْمُسْلِمُونَ عِنْدَ شُرُوطِهِمْ, We should what? We should honor our agreement. As long as both of you have agreed that this is what you want to do. So you as a Muslim, you honor the agreement. It's not okay for you to be going against the agreement that you have reached with people. Even if you reach an agreement with a kafir. So it's not a good quality for a believer to be breaking his agreement. It's not a good quality. So may Allah save us from this. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now said from the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir, Inna ahaqqa shurut. The most rightful shurut. No, we have so many shurut. We have so many conditions. But the most rightful one. And you have fadihi to be fulfilled. Mastahlal to be in furuj. Is what you make lawful the private part of one another. What you make lawful with it. The agreement that you have with a woman to make a private part lawful for you. The agreement that what make the private part of a man lawful for a woman. That is what the ahaqqu shurut. More important than the shurut of what transaction. More important than the shurut of what? Of transaction. So this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us the importance of respecting the private part of the women. And now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that فَإِنَّكُمْ إِسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُمْ بِكَلْمَةِ اللَّهِ. You have made their private parts lawful to you bi kalimatillah, with the word of Allah. With the word of Allah. So if one is going into a marriage, so to say, with a woman, you should do what? With sincerity. Not because I just want to have a taste and what? Not drop her. Huh? You should do what? With sincerity. فَإِنَّكُمْ إِسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. So whatever agreement you reach in order to make the private part of a woman or even a man to be lawful, that agreement must be fulfilled. And that is why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna ahaqqa shurut, the most rightful shurut to be what to be fulfilled, and you are fadihi masahla to be Al-Furuj, is what you make lawful with it, the private part. What you make lawful with it, the private part. Now, scholars, they look at this hadith, and they look at the issue. Which shuruj is the hadith talking about? Is it talking about the muqtadayati al-nikah, huh? That is things that are requisites of nikah, that is those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote, has made, or is talking about the ones that both of them agree upon. You know the difference? Who can give us an example of the conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, eh? That is part and parcel of what? The marriage. When you say, okay, these two people, they are married, what are the things that are necessary? That are necessary? Fankihuna bi'izni alihin. Aha. Watuhuna ujurahuna. Marry them with what? With the permission of their family. Huh? That is, al-wilaya is what is necessary, is shart. Now after the wilaya, we have the issue of what? Mahr. So, is the hadith talking about what? Mahr? Now apart from this, what other things that are requisites of nikah? that are muqtadayat of al-nikah. Al-nikah al-shari, the legal nikah, what are the requirements in the precise of the legal nikah? We have mentioned mahr. Now, this one, the public one. After now, these two people are what? They are married now. They are married. What are the things that are necessary? You know, the mahr, we have mentioned the mahr, spending is what is required. Huh? Peaceful coexistence, yes. Peaceful living. Allah to wa'ashuruhunna bil ma'aruf. And live with them bil ma'aruf. What? In an honorable way. In an agreeable way. So, if two people are said to be married, when they are exchanging blow, this is not what one of the requisites of what? Of marriage. They are not living what? A peaceful married life. Because what Allah says is what? Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. So this one is not being mu'ashara of his wife bil ma'ruf. So what both of them are engaging in is not what is required in the what? In the legal nikah. This is not what a nikah sharia. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? فَإِنْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَصْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. If you want to marry a woman, you marry her بِإِحْسَانٍ. بِمَعْرُوفٍ by what? Treating her well. أَوْ تَصْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Or you leave her, you let her go. بِإِحْسَانٍ. But for you to what? To keep the woman and every day you are blowing each other, you are exchanging blow. No, this is not what is required. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَلَا تُضَارُّهُنَّ لِتُضَيِّقُوا عَلَيْنَّ لَا تُضَارُّهُنَّ. Even when you divorce a woman and the woman is in your house doing her iddah, you have to respect Allah. You have to obey Allah. Allah says what? وَلَا تُضَارُّهُنَّ. Do not harm them. لِتُضَيِّقُوا عَلَيْنَّ. So that what? You make that house or very hot for them, so that the woman will leave before what? Before the time of Idda. Before the time of Idda comes to an end. This is not what? The quality of a believing person. That I'm not marrying again. So, fine, you have what? You have done the talaq of the woman. Then you have to respect the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should know that woman should do what? Idda in your house. But for you to not say, what is this that Sharia is saying? Do the Idda. This part I don't want to see her. Not that what? Victimizing her in such a way that what? It will be difficult for her to even spend what? 2 days in your house. And she's supposed to do what? Do three what? Menstruation in your house. Allah said what? وَلَا تُضَارُّهُنَّ لِتُضَيِّقُوا عَلَيْنَّ. And if the woman that you divorce, that you feel that what you cannot live peacefully again, when kunna wulati hamlin, fa'amfiku alayhinna hatta yada'na hamlahun. If you are pregnant, then you have to spend on them until what? Until they deliver the baby. All these are verses of the Quran. So which means is the what? Is the requirement of any marriage in the Sharia, that you should live peacefully. Which other one? Huh? Now, privacy, spending on her, this is something that is also what? Before privacy, let us talk about what? Spending on her. When you say what? You are married, it's a responsibility that what? You spend on your wife. It's a responsibility. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what? Has made compulsory on you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory on you. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. The women, your wives, they have what? Rights over you. And what is the right? كسوتهن He said what? وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعَرُفِ. Part of the right they have on you is that what you feed them. رِزْقُهُنَّ. You feed them. وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ. You clothe them. بِالْمَعَرُفِ. In a way that is what? Not in a way that is beyond your ability. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. They don't take ذو صعت من صعت. So whoever has much, should spend what? Much. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِكْ إِمَّا أَتَاءُ اللَّهِ. So whoever has little, should speak what? To the best, spend rather, to the best of what? His ability, according to his capacity. So a man should see it as what? A condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on him, that he feeds and clothes his wife according to his what? His capacity. Even if one divorces a woman, if the divorce is talaq raj'i, the talaq that you can still take her back, and she's doing the iddah, you have to feed her, clothe her. Don't say now, both of us, you are not in good time now. You are not in good time. So in that case, I will not be responsible for what? No. The talaq, is it talaq raj'i? Is it a talaq that what? You can still take her back. That is, she has not finished the iddah, the three menstruation. If yet you feed her as if you are feeding what? The woman that you don't have problem with. You clothe her as if what? You are clothing the woman that you don't have problem with. And if it is talaq ba'in, the talaq that what? You cannot marry her. Huh? You cannot marry her. So in that case, you don't feed her, you don't clothe her according to what? According to the more correct opinion. That's what scholars say, you clothe her, you feed her. When we say the talaq that you cannot marry her, somebody divorces his wife, say, I divorce you. And the woman starts what? A'idda. She sees the first menstruation, the second menstruation, the third menstruation. After that, the woman becomes pure. And the man has to, Allah, it is the devil that has pushed me to do this, to let us reconcile. Allah, you cannot reconcile in that simple way. You have to go and do new nikah. New nikah. The way you started, that is the way you want, you do it again. Anything to patch that thing, Allah is dinner. So you have to go and do new nikah. Because the Sharia has given you enough time. The first menstruation is there, it did not chase away the devil. The second menstruation, the third menstruation, till it comes what? Pure. Nothing is what it is there. No. You have to start the way you started. Go and do khitbah. Then maybe by the time you are doing khitbah, another brother and others are also interested. So you give the khitbah to the woman and that person gives her khitbah. Don't look at the other person that Allah is people, Allah is they are foolish people. My wife. No, this is not your wife. Your former wife. That's what you are interested in. And somebody is also what? Interested in her. Then she has the right to say what? I'm going for this person, not for you. If she goes for the other person, she has not sinned. She's not sinful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her the freedom to do that. So, the shahid idea is that this is called talaq ba'in baynunatan sughra. Sughra. It is irrevocable, it is still irrevocable, but the irrevocability has to do with what? Has to do with you proposing to the lady. But if it is baynunatan kubra, so maybe you divorce the woman the first time, maybe before she finishes the iddah, you say, it is devil that is let us reconcile. So the consideration only is for new nikah. She's still your wife because she has not gone out of what? The three menstruation. So in any way you can what, you can invite Abba to see your wife. But that is written as what? One. Then if something like that happens again, I divorce you. That is what? Two. Maybe you take her back before she finishes the menstruation. The condition is that you should not allow her to finish the period, the iddah. If she finishes the iddah without considering her back, it becomes what? Bidunata Sughra. Why do you consider her back before she finishes the iddah? She's still your wife. But now it is two now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, At-talaku marratani. It is two times, so don't allow the third one to happen. If the third one happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدَ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدَ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. He cannot take the woman back easily, the way he took her back easily the first time, the second time, because this is the third one. فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدَ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. So the woman willingly gets married to another person, and that person will willingly what? Divorce her. It's not a gate that, oh Allah, please give my wife khidbah. Give her khidbah. But if you give her khidbah, just do talak after the nikah. Don't sit it out. If that is said, this is called what? Nikah al-muhallil. Because of the one who is trying to legalize for the previous husband the woman, his previous wife. But you know, Allah la'an al-muhallil wal-muhallal. So those who are involved, if it is what the game of the three of them, the woman or the previous husband and what the new one, if it's their game, they're all cursed. So what you're trying to say in essence is that this is called Beinuna Kubra. Now the woman that is divorced, Beinuna Kubra, according to the stronger opinion, or the strongest opinion, that woman, no kiswa, no clothing, no nafaqa, that is no feeding, no housing for her. What is the evidence for that? Fatima bint Qais, she happened to fall in this type of situation. And she said, this is what Messenger of Allah passed as judgment for her. There are no clothing, la nafaqata laki, there is no feeding for you, wala sukna, and no housing. How this is clear. So, but let's say such a woman is pregnant. Then there will be nafaqa for her. Because of what? The pregnancy. When kunna ulati hamlin, fa anfiqoo alayhinna hatta yada'na hamlahun. Allah says, if you divorce women and those women were divorced while you were pregnant, fa anfiqoo alayhinna hatta yada'na hamlahun. Spend on them until what? They deliver their baby. Number is a nukta here, and that nukta is that some people feel that you cannot divorce a woman why she's what? Pregnant. That one who does that must be a foolish person. The situation may warrant that. A woman is pregnant and she's ready to what? Kill the man inside the house. Every day, changing blood, despite her pregnancy. She did not even look at whether she's pregnant. Such a woman, can she be divorced? Yes. But if the man divorces her, فَأَنْفِقُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ حَبَّى يَضَعْنَا أَمْ لَحُدٍ. So this is the issue of nafaqa as well. فَإِنْ أَرْضَعْنَ لَكُمْ فَأَتُوهُنَّ وُجُورَهُنَّ. If after divorce, and she has got delivered the baby, if she's the one that is also not seeing the baby for you, Allah says what? Give them their watch, their ajr. If you hire her to do that for you. So what you are trying to say in essence is that the issue of nafaqa is very, very important. So it's very important to the extent that what people if one divorce women, if they are what, if it is talaq rajul, you still spend on them. If it is talaq bayin, you don't spend on them. But if some other things are attached to it, maybe they are pregnant or they are also feeding, breastfeeding, then in that case you spend on them. So it is what is also shall put down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the issue of sukna, that is housing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَسْكِنُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ سَكَنْتُمْ مِنْ وَجْدِكُمْ. House your wives where you work, where you live. Where you live, you house them. It was sukna, it was very, very important. Now, what you are saying is that there are some conditions that Allah has put down. So this is called what? Maqasid al-nikah. The muqtadayat al-nikah. So when you say somebody, or two persons, their husband and wife, all these things are expected to be fulfilled. So one should not expect himself what? To be called a husband. So no accommodation, no feeding. So he's treating the woman with what? With harshness, no mu'ashara bil ma'ruf. So that person is not doing what? The muqtadayat of nikah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put down. And it may be on the part of the woman. Part of the muqtadayat of what? Of nikah is when you marry a woman, you do what? You have sex with her. So we have to mention this. That is this. So it's part and parcel of it. Part of the muqtadayat of nikah and the maqasid of nikah is that a woman should what? Should be obedient to the husband. For salihah to call it out. So the good women are those that watch, that they are submissive to their husbands. So any woman that is not submissive to her husband, such a woman is not ready to be what? To be in a happy marriage home. So a woman must watch, must be submissive to her husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many ahadith also established this. You know the case of a woman, the Messenger of Allah asked that, you have husband? She said, yes. How is your husband? He said, I will do almost everything except what is beyond my ability. The Messenger of Allah said, take care. That is your Jannah and your Nar. That is your Jannah and your Nar. Your hell and what? Your paradise. So, is the requisite of any marriage that will be a legal marriage, a Shari marriage. If this is not reached, there will be problem. So a woman must be submissive. And that's the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ أَنْ لَا يُطِئْنَا فُرُوشَكُمْ أَحَدًا تَكْرَهُونَ. He said, what part of the right that you have on them? They should not bring any person to your house, the person that you don't want to see in your house. So a woman that the husband says, I don't want to see so-and-so person in my house. And she says, that is your problem. And when the man goes out, she brings that person inside. So the woman is not fulfilling the conditions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on her. Part of it is that when a man wants to have sexual intercourse with a wife, the woman should not reject unless if there is what a genuine reason in the Sharia. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put it in such a way that even if she's baking, if she's what? She's baking and the man calls her, she should not what? Refuse. So to tell us this right, these conditions, that if not mentioned, any nikah that we call the nikah of Islam, all these conditions are what embedded in there. Whether they do not mention it or they mention it or not. Now going back to the question. In ahaqqa shurut and tufa bi nastahlaktu bi al-furuj. The most rightful And the most important conditions to be fulfilled is the conditions with which the private parts are legalized. Is this Hadith talking about the things that you have mentioned? Is it talking about these that you have mentioned, or is talking about the conditions that both parties, the man and the woman, both of them come and put out some conditions? Which one? The two. Now the first one, that is what is accepted. Now the second one, you propose to a lady, and the lady says, well, I will marry you, but one thing is that you are going to get me a little Camry, so to say. And you say, inshallah, or not inshallah, I will do that. So, maybe you said, in 2 months' time, I will do that. And 2 months goes, both of you are what? You are living together. Where is the latest Camry? I just said that to you so that... is that okay Islamically? إِنَّ حَقَّ الشُّرُوتِ أَنْ تُوَفَّ بِي مَسْتَحْلَتُ بِي الْفُرُوتِ. Maybe if you have told her that that Camry, I can't do that to you. Should have looked for somebody who can get her the Camry. Shouldn't have watched, allow herself to be watched, to be used. So in the haqqa shuruti and tuwa fadi, not allowed to be foolish. This is very, very important. So whatever agreement that you have with a lady, as long as the agreement is not against what? The Sharia. And that's why we say, apart from the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put down, so there are some agreements, some conditions that a man will put down or a woman will put down. Those conditions, still they are not against the conditions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they ought to be fulfilled. Then the third one will do conditions that are against the Sharia. So those ones should be knocked off. Are you with me? Those ones should be knocked off. But the ones that are not against the Sharia, is it compulsory to fulfill it or not? Some scholars said what? It is compulsory. Some said it's not compulsory. Some said it is compulsory, but if the man does not fulfill it, the woman has the right to opt out of the marriage. The woman has the right to opt out of the marriage. But going by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning what? The fulfillment of the conditions and agreements, we say what? It is compulsory to fulfill. Now, as for the woman having the right to opt out, yes, she has the right to opt out. And this is the position of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, that the woman has the right to what? To move out or opt out of the marriage. And the conditions are binding on the man. So if the man does not fulfill it, the man is sinful for not fulfilling it. Or if the woman does not fulfill the conditions, she's also sinful for not fulfilling the conditions. Now, we can have what? 100 conditions that both of them work to stipulate. Now, let us look at this. A woman says that I will allow you to marry me on condition that what? You will not marry another person after me. Are we going to classify that condition? I will allow you to marry me, but on condition that what? You marry another woman after me. Where are we going to classify? Is it against? Is it kullu shartin laysa fi kitab fa huwa batil? Oh, al muslimun inda shurutin.
like that.
So which one are you taking? That is against the law of Allah. Are this against the law of Allah? No, she's not saying it's unlawful. Thank you, Mato Allah, to the Nizam, Masna, Allah, to our Ruba. Allah has not said what it is composing to marry two wives, three wives, four wives. Oh, has Allah said that? No. So it's something that is permissible. Just like it's permissible for you to eat bread, to not to eat bread, if you like. It's a matter of choice. So Umar said, well, I will allow you to marry me, but no any wife after me. If the man agrees to it, so it is not permissible. So if the woman says what? If the woman says, I will allow you to marry me, but no wife after me. That is, after you marry me, you will marry another person on me. So these scholars also disagree on it. A lot of scholars, a large number of scholars, they said it falls under what? Kullu shartin laysa fi kitab al-fahuwa. Is the right of the man to marry more than the wife? So why is she blocking it? Why some said, no, it's not compulsory to marry two wives or three or four. So the man decides to watch, to succumb for what the woman wants. Because some people may feel that what, if you marry a second wife on me, maybe she's jealous and so on and so forth, she may not be able to watch, to cope, sort of putting herself in watch and problem. So I want a man that watch, that he marry me alone, so that what, we live peacefully. So some scholars, a lot of scholars as well, they said this is permissible. Now, as for those scholars who believe that what, if they agree on a condition that it is not permissible to fulfill it, they don't have much problem. But those who believe that you have, it is compulsory on you to watch, to fulfill the agreement, the condition that you reach with somebody. So this is their own issue. But those who believe it's not compulsory, say their opinion is outrageous. Because when we look at the verses of the Quran, a hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are telling us that it is compulsory to fulfill your agreement with people. And that's why, wallahu alam, the opinion of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, Ta'ala, that says it is what compulsory for you to fulfill the agreement. But if you do not fulfill the agreement, the woman has the right to what, to opt out. So if the woman sees that maybe the husband is going ahead to marry a second wife, she can decide to what, to go. That this is not our agreement, so I'm opting out of it. Now the man may be sinful for not what, honoring the agreement. It is sinful. According to those scholars who believe that what, the woman has the right to say, I don't want you to marry somebody after me. Now this condition is before marriage, that is before the act is done, or when the act is being done. But after act, we are not talking about this. Both of them are married. Maybe the woman is now enjoying the relationship. I say, my husband, I want to beg you for something. What is that? I don't want you to marry any other person after me. So this is not what we are talking about. Why? Because there is no stipulation of this at the beginning of what? At the beginning of the contract. So we are talking about if she stipulates this at the beginning of the contract. So as I said, scholars, they have this agreement, they have difference of opinion on this. So you may ask, or somebody may ask a scholar, and scholar will say, what, it is permissible for a woman to say that, and the woman will be happy. And another scholar may be asked, and the scholar will say it is not permissible. We should know where they are coming from. Even as we are seated here, we cannot classify it. Huh? We ourselves cannot what? Categorize it. Is it under what? The shurut of Allah? Or it is under what? The shurutul jaiza, that it can, that is permissible for them. So we have all tried to do the classification. So we cannot reach what? So the scholars did not have what conclusion on this. Now let me bring another one. A woman says, I'm going to marry you, but if I die, if you don't marry another person after me. Is it strange? No, some women can stipulate that. That if I die before you, you should not marry another person before me. After me, rather. Is it permissible? So this is not out. How is it going to be permissible? No, we are I'm coming to that. I'm talking about a woman stipulating now, not a man stipulating. So this is not permissible. Now, Sheikh Ibrahim will tell me I was harsh one day. Look at it. A woman said, during the act, or before the act, before the act or during the act, that any woman that you marry on me is divorced. And any concubine that you sleep with becomes a wife. So on this condition you are going to marry. I'm going to marry you on condition that what? Any woman you marry on me, that is why I'm still alive. The woman is what? Divorced. And any concubine, when I say concubine, I'm talking about what? The sarari, that is the slaves. The slaves that the man have, you know, it is permissible. Mamalakat aymanukum. Any concubine that you have and you sleep with becomes what? A wife. Becomes what? Free. Becomes what? Free. You know, if she becomes free, she becomes what? Divorce, because she was a kind of wife now. And any wife you marry after divorce. Look at that trick. So there are so many ways that women can come up with what. And that's why when you are agreeing with anything, you have to look at it very well. What are you signing? So it's very, very important. Now, a woman also says, for instance, that she stipulates that I'm going to marry you on condition that what, you don't take me out of this town or out of this country. Is that permissible? Does it go against the shaft of Allah? It doesn't go against the shaft of Allah. Huh? So if the husband wants to take, for instance, both of them are living in Lagos, and the husband is what is posted of to, let's say, Port Harcourt. And the man tells the wife that, Port Harcourt, let's go. And the woman says, no, we have had the agreement before that you will take me out of what? Lagos. What are you going to see? Should the man leave out here? Is it binding on the man to leave out here? Or the woman must follow him. No, not we are not talking about can now, whether she can. We are talking about this compulsion. If you say it is compulsion on the man to leave her. No, she does not agree. She says that the condition is that what? You are going to leave me here. I'm not going out of Lagos. And it's not, it has happened that what the man has been what posted to Port Harcourt. And the man said, my wife, let's go. The man says, have you forgotten our agreement that I'm not going out of Lagos? If the woman insists that she's not going out of Lagos, are we going to say is what she doesn't fall under Apostolihatu contact?
No.
Now, Umar radiallahu anhu was confronted with this type of case. And in the first fatwa, in the first qadar, the first judgment, Umar radiallahu anhu said what? He said, مَقَاتِعُ الْحُقُوقِ عِنْدَ الشُّرُوجِ. That is, for somebody to say, you have violated my right or rights, is what? In the shurut, if you have what shurut conditions. So, if she has stipulated that she's not going out, or the father of the girl has stipulated that she's not going out of what? So that the man cannot fall, because we have shurut, wal muslimun in the shurut. So, Umar of the land said, what? مَقَاتِعُ الْحُقُوقِ عِنْدَ الشُّرُوجِ. But it happened another time. Another case again. Umar radiallahu anhu said what? Al mar'atu ma zawjiha. A woman should be with her husband. So there are some issues that are very critical and very difficult to what to say, okay, this is ruling, this is ruling. That a scholar may say something today, tomorrow what? He will change it. Because he's pondering over it again. One I say that. So because they are what? They look alike. But it was reported that Ali radiallahu anhu, as Imam Tirmidhi said, Ali radiallahu anhu said what? Shartullah fawqa shartiha. Shartullah fawqa shartiha or qabla shartiha. The condition of Allah supersedes our own condition. So which means أَتْكِنُهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ إِشْ تَكَانْتُمْ أَتْكِنُهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ تَكَانْتُمْ. So ordinary a woman should be with the husband. So issues like this, it is somehow difficult for scholars to say, okay, this is So those scholars who believe that what? No, the woman should go with her. They have the opinion that what? From the verse of Kinunan in height of the country in which they come, that a woman should be what? Should be with the husband. So there are a lot of conditions like that. Now, if a man also stipulates some conditions, that okay, I'm going to marry you, but I don't want my wife to be working. I want a full housewife. You know, we have conditions like this, that I want to marry you, I will marry you, but from condition that what will be a full housewife. Or a woman tells the man that I will marry you, but on condition that what you allow me to work. So this is not part of the muqtadayat of nikah, that the woman is working, it's not part of the what? The requisite of marriage. But if she stipulates that what she will work, or the man stipulates that no, she won't work, she will be a full housewife to be taking care of the children, and the woman agrees, is it permissible for the woman to violate that, to say, after all, the Sharia allows women to work, is it permissible to violate it? No. So many conditions like that a man can stipulate. If the woman agrees to that, just as we have said concerning the woman, so we say similar thing concerning the man. Now, somebody giving a right up, that is some of the rights that the Sharia has given her, or some of the rights that the Sharia has given him, giving it up, this and that thing. Take for instance, it is compulsory on a man to spend on the wife, but the wife says, don't worry, It's not the man that is stipulating it now. It is the woman that's saying, don't worry, don't spend on me, I'll take care of myself. Somebody who is married to more than the wife is supposed to what? To share bed, to share the night with them. Equally. If one of the wives says, look, I'm giving up my own rights, this is what? Permissible. The way Aisha radiallahu anha received that of Sauda. Sauda gave up her own night to Aisha later. But for a man to say, okay, I'm going to marry you on condition that what? I'll just be coming to your side one day. Then the other wife will be receiving what? 6 days. What do you feel? And she says what? I agree. But after when the match starts, the woman has a routine that, you know, I cannot. It's not permissible for a man to stipulate that type of condition that I'll be coming to you. It's not something that we say is binding. But if the woman accepts, let's say the man stipulates that based on what the nature of the job, and the woman accepts, is it compulsion the woman to watch, to be coping with that? No. She has the right to watch, to opt out or the marriage if she feels that what she cannot continue that way. So many things that will be considered when talking about in ahaqqa shuruti and tuwaffa bi mastahlal to be afruj. So inshallah we stop here. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka allahu wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu. Intention. Now when we say Ihram is the intention. Just as the intention of what? Salah. The intention of fasting. So Ihram is the intention of performing Hajj or Umrah. Now is it compulsory to utter Allahumma labbayka Umratan or Allahumma labbayka Hajjan? Is it compulsory to do that? The majority of the scholars have said it's not compulsory. That the intention is what is compulsory. But some scholars have the opinion that it is compulsory to say it together with what you have in the act. What you have in your mind, you say it together. But the statement alone is not the ihram. The intention is the most important aspect. But is it compulsory for you to not say what? To say the wording together with this, some scholars said yes. But what most scholars are upon is that what it is the intention that is there. So we are talking about Allahumma labbayka umrah, not labbayka Allahumma labbayka labbayka la shaykh. No, this one, the ittifaq is what is sunnah to do that. But the first one, Allahumma labbayka umratan or Allahumma labbayka hajjan. So it is more that you say it with the intention. But the more correct opinion of Allah alam is that it is the intention that is what that is called ihram. As for the garment, what that represents is that intention, you are not expected to assume the intention unless you are in that state. That is, you are not putting on sun garment. The garment that is sun according to the links. No. But not that somebody will put on the garment and it's always very memory. The Arabs will do that. They put on Urida and Iza. It's a way of dressing there, and they are not performing Hajj or Umrah. So, but the person who is going to perform Hajj or Umrah must be in that garment before he has what? The intention. But the intention is what? Is a haram. So let's assume somebody is in what? Is in a garment like this, and the person says what? The person has the intention of performing Umrah. That is just as you have the intention of what? The Salah at that point. So the person is in the state of ihram. But they have violated something, and that is what is not supposed to be in the garment in which he is. But he has assumed ihram the way he has said. Wallahu a'lam. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us and give us understanding of the deen. As you said, it is important that we pay attention to this so that what we can educate one another, both the males and the females. Because some of the things that we do them copying the kuffar, both the males and the females. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any woman that the husband wants to sleep with and she refuses, that the angels will be causing her till what? Till morning. Another hadith, till the husband is pleased with her. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the woman were to watch to be baking and the husband invites her, she should not. So the only reason why a woman would turn down the offer, so to say, of the husband, is when the husband, if for instance she's sick, for instance, that she cannot bear that. When she's what, she has excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one. Two, if the man is not doing what he's supposed to do, the right of the woman is not getting a right. When I say a right, I mean the Sharia right. What the woman is supposed to get. I'm not talking about the triviality, so to say. But maybe the man is not feeding her, the man is not clothing her, the man is not housing her, the man is not feeding the children. So the necessary thing that the man should do, the woman is not doing that. In a situation like that, the woman has the right word to refuse. Because the woman is also what, denying her a right. And if she denies the woman, the man is own right, so there is no, it is what, it is fit for touch. But if the man is doing the necessary things, but the woman feels that, okay, I'm not in the mood, or I'm not, so that's why she refused. So such a woman will be as sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said will be applicable to us. Now the question is, for such a woman to now be saying that the man is raping her, wallahi, this is what? Is an outrageous statement that a Muslim should not. So you can't say your husband is what? He's raping you. How can your husband be raping you when you do what? You did the normal nikah. So the issue of rape does not come in here. Wallahu a'lam. Now, if the man is beating the woman and the woman cannot bear that and or is becoming something that is what? Unbearable for the woman, can she leave the home, the house of the man? Yes. She can do that. When we say she can do that, not that what? The nikah become what? Broken. The nikah is still there. Because the man has not said what? I divorce you. And she has not asked for khulur. But she has only moved out of the house because of what? The assault that she cannot bear anymore. So who say what? She should remain in the house. Receiving what? The attack. Even if it's going to lead to her death. No any serious person or a sensible man will say that. But as you have said earlier, even if a man is divorcing the wife, he should allow her to get what? The right. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is what? وَلَا تُضَارُّهُنَّ لِتُضَيِّقُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ. Do not harm them. Do not victimize them. لِتُضَيِّقُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ. So that what, to frustrate them out of the house. This is what? This will be mafia as far as the man is concerned. So if there is talaq, the woman should be allowed to spend the time that she will spend in the way the Sharia prescribed it. And some women as well. And this is why I say we are taking towards the way of the kuffar in things like that. There are some women, for the fact that the man says, okay, I divorce you, the next thing is what? For them to be fomenting trouble in the house. This is not the way of a pious woman. The fact that a man divorces a woman, that is not the end of life. She can get somebody better than that man that has divorced her. She should do the work, the ijda, the way the Sharia has prescribed. You know, some women can be so troublesome to the extent of what? Maybe women, we have had cases of what? A woman having the husband and so on and so forth. So this is not the way of the Muslim. So we should shun and defeating the way of the kuffar, both the men and the women. You divorce your wife, give her all the rights that the Sharia asks you to give her. If she's what? If she's in talaq rujoo, you know the things that you are what? That you are supposed to do. And she knows her rights. So you do everything in what you complete. I think what? Not any fight has not happened between both of you. And the woman should also treat the man that way. If it is what? Talaq rujoo, for instance, the woman will say what? I will stop cooking for you. You know, when you stop cooking for your husband, what happens? You are denying him somewhat some things. So this may frustrate him to also deny you some things. So we are taken towards the ways of the kuffar in many ways. And what defeats us as Muslims is for us to look at our talaq story, the way they manage their affairs, wallahu a'lam. What is prescribed. Now the woman should go to the court. Should go to the court. Then, the family, she can report this to the family, maybe to take it or not, or she take it to what? The court straight. And in the absence of maybe the family, who maybe the family have spoken on it and there is no any tangible results, she can take it over to watch the Kufru court, if that is the case. Because we will not say that watch, she should allow herself to be watched, to be killed by the man. No. No sensible person will say that. But as we have always said, that is the duty of Islam. Allah says what? أَطَلَاقُ مَرَّتَانْ فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْهُولِ إِحْسَانٍ. The fact that you are not husband and wife again does not mean what? You should kill one another. So if you know you want to marry her, be nice to her. If you know you are tired of her or she's tired, let them up out of the marriage. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِيَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِي اللَّهُ كُلَّا مِنْ صَعَتِهِ. If they are separated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich each one of them from what? From his sa'ah, from his bounty. Allah did not say what talaq is haram, because he knows that there are some people that the only thing that can solve their matter is for them to what? To be separated. When you insist that what they continue, you make all the efforts, it's like what you are bringing what do they say? Is it cat and rat? So, and Islam does not want something like that. One of the muqtadayat of nikah is for both of them to live peacefully in the house. So if there is no peace in the house, Islam encourages what? Separation. After all efforts have been made to reconcile, wallahu a'lam.
Usually very nice. So do you advise that the woman and man should be separated in that period, at least for people to calm down? Because
I do not see how I go in ambulance or in ambulance or anything. And then you are telling me human to be nice, telling human to be nice to be back to the
what you are saying, Ethan, is that if a man tells his wife that he divorces her, that is forced divorce. She's still his wife. So what is expected of the wife is to try to watch, to be nice. What has led to that divorce, the woman should try to rectify it. So if a man tells his wife that I divorce you, and the wife was too stubborn, is that a solution to what? To the problem? Huh? That's what you are saying. So that means both of them.
Yes.
So maybe she says it out of anger that okay, after a while, what is expected of a wife or your husband that is still interested in what in the union? What is expected? So if for them to extend what neither to that's what we are saying the same thing. If they are interested, they will look for a way of what. But if they are not interested, it will be burning them up. Because both of them are not interested. And that's what Allah says, what in you either Islah. You want to kill all the inner woman. So if they want reconciliation, Allah what? Who make it easy for them? But when people do not want reconciliation, you the outsider that want to intervene, there is little you can do. Maybe as you are trying to settle the matter, the man is what? Is bringing what? Blow. And the woman is. So, for them, for both of them, if they believe they want to live together, and that's why Islam leaves it that way, that we have what? Talaq al-Raji'i. I don't want you again. You still have right to take it back. Okay, I don't want you again. Happens another time. You still have right to what? To take it the third time. But if the third one happens, Allah is for Allah to save you now. So this is like, it's just like what? A kind of trying to curtail you. So that when you are what? You are getting angry. Control your anger. Because if you do not control your anger, it may what? Cost you your relationship. How to play. So what Allah has said is what is the best for us. It's the best for us. So but for somebody to say okay, I divorce you and the next thing for him to start what doing the luggage or show of the woman outside, you know, this is not the way of the Muslims, it's the way of the kuffar. Allah. Now, Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La talaq fi ighlaq." There is no talaq in ighlaq. What is ighlaq? Ighlaq is when one is what? Is completely out of control of oneself. Not just ordinary anger. Most talaq will come out of what? Anger. A woman that what? And a man, the man will not tell his wife, "I divorced you." And both of them are what? They are pleased with one another. Unless maybe some cases are what? Related to it. Maybe they've been looking for children, they've not been able to get. So maybe we should pass. So this may not be out of anger. But apart from things like this, most of that will be what? Out of anger. So but the anger that the Sharia is talking about is the anger that what? One does not know what one is saying. So that is, one is completely out of the control of oneself. So this type of talaq does not take place, does not hold, wallah.
So maybe you are coming to the
Now, I think this has been explained, that we look at what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put down as condition. If you have looked at those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put down as condition, that is when we will be talking about this person is sinful or not sinful. That's number one. Take for instance now, I'm marrying a lady, I said I'm going to marry you on condition that what? And I'm not going to be spending on you. Huh? That type of condition doesn't work. Does not work. You will say what? I'm marrying on condition that what? I'm not going to be spending on you. You have to spend on the woman because that is part of the muqtadayat of nikah. So, if such a woman accept that condition, during the course of the marriage, she now what? She says no. She's not sinful. Because you that you are stipulating that condition is not a condition to what? To be stipulated. No, the woman is not sinful. According to some scholars. According to some scholars, she's sinful. Because not that she's sinful now. She's sinful right from what? When she made that condition. That and she doesn't have the right to make the condition that what? Her husband must not take a second wife. Go against the law of Allah. And take for instance now. Someone say, okay, I'm going to marry, I will allow you to marry me on condition that what? You get me a family of so and so year. And the man say, okay, I'll get you that. And both of them agree and they do the marriage. No. Okay, the man falls sick, he doesn't have the money to get the... Now, what now happens?
The man has said, I'm divorcing you, you
my family. Is he sinful?
Yes.
He's not sinful. She's not sinful. That is the agreement that both of you had now. So and you have not fulfilled your agreement. So and she's opting out of the marriage because you have not fulfilled the agreement. So she's not sinful. Now, it's a different thing for you to say, how about the man, you know, this man is going through some... That's another thing. If you want the man, you want the woman to think the way you are thinking, the man that agrees that, for instance, that he will not take a second wife, but when the woman is unable to give birth, the man is telling her that, you see, you will not be able to give birth, you know, I can't die without having children, and so on. So, is the man considering the woman? Conditions before marriage that are attached to marriage is what you have discussed. So separate them. Conditions that are made by Allah. Conditions that are agreed by two of them, then we have to look at the conditions that are agreed on by two of them. Did they violate the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? So now we have what? Conditions of Allah, conditions by both of them that are permissible, and conditions by both of them that are what? Not permissible. Or one of them stipulates it, they are not permissible. You get it? And they are attached to the marriage. But a wife, a man and a wife, both of them have been living together. So the woman says, my husband, buy me so and so. And the man says, okay, I'm going to buy you. This was the promise. So we fulfill our promise. But the woman cannot say, what? Since you not get me this thing now, I'm moving out, opting out of the nikah, because you have not fulfilled your promise of nikah. No, it's not promise of nikah. But if she says she's opting out of the marriage, that is, she's taking hulu, because the man cannot get her that thing. She can do that if the man wants to grant her. But Islam is against a woman that is doing hulu for just no reason. That is a genuine reason in Sharia. And that's the Messenger of Allah said, what? Are you my murati? سألت زوجها الطلاق في غير ما بعث حرام عليها الجنة. So any woman that asks a husband to divorce her for just no genuine reason, so such a woman will not have al-jannah. Because the woman is supposed to work to protect herself, to honor herself, not moving from this place to this place for no just reason, wallahu a'lam. Now, concerning the second issue, is that right? And people cannot force her to do that, not to do, rather. We know the case of Jamila that went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning Thabit bin Qais. And she said, Thabit bin Qais, as far as his religion is concerned, is a very wonderful man. But I don't want to commit kufr in Islam. That means I don't want to be ungrateful to somebody who is nice to me. So she cannot tolerate or withstand or hear him in the way she will see him. And for this reason, she opted out of the marriage. Messenger of Allah did not take it to be a big issue. So he asked her, Atarudina alayhi hadithata. The garden that he gave to you as the mahar, are you ready to return it? Because that is the condition. A woman that wants to go out, that wants to opt out of a marriage, if she insists that she wants to go out of the marriage, then the mahar should be returned. That's the condition. But for her to say that she's not going to return the mahar and she wants to go out of the marriage, and the man is not what? The one that is saying he divorces her. Then she's what? She's thankful for that. And she cannot go out of the marriage anyhow, because she did not marry herself anyhow. When she's going out of the marriage, it's either what the man divorces her, or she asks for khul'u. And if the man does not want to succumb, he can take it to what? To the Sharia court. And if they listen to her, and they see that what? They see that she has a new reason, they separate them. But the woman to just start packing whatever belongings, leaving the house of a woman, that is the way of the kuffar and the kafirat, not the way of the Muslims. Allahu a'lam. Naam, unna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun. So all is talking about we living together with what? With peace. So talking about living together with peace, so having enjoyment of one another, so this is what he's talking about. So any marriage that does not achieve this in Islam, so the marriage is not a good marriage. It's not the marriage that Islam wants. The marriage that a woman and a man repeating themselves often is not the marriage that Islam calls for. It's not the marriage that Islam wants. So the more the husband and the wife are able to live peacefully, the more Islam supports the marriage, as long as both of them are living based on the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it is worth beating all the time and the life fighting, so Islam is against such a marriage, wallahu a'lam. Allah has not. Now, with respect to the asbab that we take to achieve some things, so should be taken. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that make them work. So we will not rely on the asbab themselves, the means themselves. At the same time, we will not do without using the asbab. But we believe that what the asbab can only yield the results by the what? The qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the right aqidah. So Allah has not qadar, or Allah has not ordained that the drug will be effective. Allah has ordained that the drug will not be effective. It's the same thing. Allah has ordained that the drug will not be effective. Allah has not ordained that the drug will be effective. It's the same thing.
Can woman come back to her husband's house after she has completed her Iftar and left the house?
Can she come back to her husband's house? The man is no more her husband. If she completes her Iftar and the man does not take her back, so she is no more the wife of that man. Even if it is one divorce. For the man to enjoy the continuation of the marriage is for him to take her back while she's still in Iddah. If she has finished the Iddah of the divorce, and the man does not consider her until she's pure and takes all the ghusl for instance, then they are no more husband and wife. Even if they continue to do that, that is what zina. Allah. There is no any hadith that says we cannot give the kuffar our food. We can give them our food. But the only thing is that what we make attempts and we make efforts that what we feed the Muslims more than what we feed the non-Muslims. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. Do not take as what friends except the believers. And do not give your food to somebody except if you are God-fearing person. So the meaning of the hadith is that when you want to make friends, you make friends with those who assist you, not those who destroy you. And from this, when you are eating together with people, you'll be eating together with those who are what? Who are believers. Because when you have friends, you eat with your friends. So لا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. But the one who is making friends with what? The kuffar. So this type of people will be those that what will be inviting to his what? To his food. So Islam is what is warning us against that, because this can affect. But I was meaning we cannot give food for what? To other than the Muslims, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yanhaakumu Allahu 'anil ladina lam yuqatilukum fid din wa lam yukhrijukum min diyarikum an tabarru wa tusafu ilayhim. I don't understand the question. What we say is not good to be doing, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in state of purity. So it's not something that we just say like that. Because Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ الْإِسْلَامُ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ أَحْيَانٍ. Messenger of Allah will remember Allah in all situations. Then he also said, كَرِيْتُ وَنْ أَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا عَلَى طَهَارَةٍ. He says, mentioning the name of Allah or remembering Allah in the state of what? In purity. But does not mean it is not permissible to do that. The one who is defecating and the name of Allah is mentioned, or the name of the Messenger of Allah is mentioned, or can the person do adhkar while he's defecating? No, this is not okay. It's not okay. But we can say if the person has not maybe cleaned himself or herself, that it's haram to watch to mention the name of Allah. There is no text for the hurma, the prohibition. But it is good to make effort to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are in state of purity. As the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Faritu an abkur Allah illa ala tahara, and it takes mentioning the name of Allah except in state of purity. After that is the last question. A woman is in a state of idda. She's menstruating. Okay, hide. No. She can do ibadah apart from what? Observing salah and maybe touching the Quran. Huh? So that says, tawaf as well. Yeah, no more than that. Yes, because of the pregnancy. But she's not his wife. Yes, that is employment. Contractor. Now. Yes. He can apply perfume, change his garment, and so on and so forth. Except having sexual intercourse and maybe doing acts in the car, khutbah. Quran and ifrod, or Quran and tamattu. Ifrod is when you are doing only hajj. Only hajj, no umrah. So the person who is doing ifrod, when he comes to, when he gets to haram, he does tawaf. Huh? He does tawaf. So, and he does, if he likes, he does fa'il. So then he comes back again, he will do tawaf. The tawaf that he does first is what? Is tawaf nafila. So the tawaf that he's coming to do later is the tawaf of farj. So if he does sa'yu of what? Nafila, or it can take it towards the sa'yu of compulsion. The compulsory sa'yu. So which means another sa'yu will not be compulsory on him. I hope it's clear. So the tawaf that the person who is doing the fraud does when he gets to Aram is what? Tawaf of Nafila. What about the sa'yu if he does sa'yu? The sa'yu what? Taking a sa'yu of compulsion. So if he now comes back, he will do the tawaf of compulsion. The compulsory tawaf, he will do that. So plus the sa'yu that he has done before. But the tawaf that he does first will be tawaf of Nafila. So the same thing is said of the Qari, the one that is doing Qiran. The first tawaf that he does will be tawaf of what? Nafila. Then if he does sa'yu, the sa'yu will be farj. If he comes again to do what? The tawaf of farj. Meaning he has done tawaf and what? Sa'yu. The reason is that when you get to Haram, it is good for you to watch, to do tawaf. If you have the tawaf that you have done, the tawaf of farj, which is like the one who is doing Umrah. But if this man has decided that what? He's not going to do Umrah, he wants to do only Hajj. So who called the tawaf of what? Umrah. Now as for the Qari, the one who is combining, his own tawaf is not regarded as what? Tawaf of Umrah, because he's combining the two together. He's combining the Umrah and the Hajj together. So he's given some what? Some exception, so to say, or some exception, so to say. So then he is not going to enjoy any freedom in between the Umrah and the Hajj. He's not going to enjoy any freedom. He will not be free until what? Until he does tawaf and the father. So that is the difference between what? And for him to watch, to be a Qari, he must take along with him a sacrificial animal. The mutamattir, the one who is going to enjoy freedom, is going to slaughter animal as well, but it's not compulsory on him to take it along with him. He can find it later and slaughter. But once somebody takes the sacrificial animal along with him, so he becomes what? A Qari. Wallahu a'lam. No, there is no slaughtering. But if one wants to slaughter, whether it's fraud or it is compulsory on a Qari to slaughter, it is compulsory on a mutamati to slaughter, but a mufrid is not compulsory on him to slaughter. In fact, somebody is not doing any of them can slaughter. Let me know if Allah Ta'ala will attempt to just send sacrificial animal to Haram so that what the slaughter for him. So Allahu A'lam. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.